Then I'll scoot back once we're done.
Members, we'll call this meeting of the Commerce Committee to order, and we are just shy of having a quorum, so we will start on Representative Sanders' bill, and as soon as we get a quorum, we will make this official. With that, Representative Sanders, if you want to identify yourself for the record and move your bill, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Tim Sanders, I move House File 823 to be laid over for possible inclusion at a later time in the market insurance bill. Which it is. Thank you, Mr. Chair. In short, this bill deals with other real estate owned, or OREO, as it's called, which is real estate owned by a bank that is not directly related to the bank business, mainly foreclosed real estate. Back in 2009, the legislature authorized the Department of Commerce to allow the banks to hold other real estate for up to 10 years to bring the state charter banks in line with nationally chartered banks. And the prior law allowed state charter banks to hold OREO for 5 years. This bill now is bringing House File 823. This bill is bringing conformity, consistency, and clarity to the issue, and makes Minnesota regulatory accounting principle conform to generally accepted accounting principles. And with that, again, the bill is fairly simple. We'll stand for any questions if there are any.
Representative Sanders, do you have anybody with you that would like to testify?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Mr. Skillbred.
Please identify yourself for the record. Go ahead, Mr. Skillbred.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. David Skillbred with the Independent Community Bankers of Minnesota. Thank you for the time today. As Representative Sanders said, this is a technical accounting issue before you today. To explain it real simply, it's like this. We recently had a bank last year that took acquisition of a commercial property. To make things simple and to round numbers off, the rule restricts investments to be capitalized to that property for 10% of the principal amount of indebtedness. So if the property's in debt to $1 million, the amount of improvements to the property that can be capitalized is limited to $100,000. We had a case where the improvements were greater than the 10%. GAAP rules, federal banking rules, all say that you can capitalize the full extent. This Minnesota rule is contrary to those GAAP rules and federal bank regulatory agencies. So we'd like to repeal this in order to conform to the generally accepted accounting principles, and that'll bring conformity, and it'll also be clear and consistent to those state banks. That's really it.
Thank you, Mr. Skillbred. Is there anyone that you know of that's opposed to this?
Mr. Chair, no. We know no opposition. The department supports the proposal. And I have a letter from Deputy Commissioner Murphy supporting the bill.
Representative Van Zyls.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Sanders, why are we doing this now? And is it connected to the foreclosure epidemic? And does this provide an incentive to banks to move with some speed in foreclosure situations?
Representative Sanders or Mr. Skillbred?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anzel, we're doing it now because prior to this, we did not know that the rule in the Minnesota rules was not in conformity to federal banking rules. In today's market where things are harder to get rid of, and the example that I spoke about and the example that we learned about that brought this bill before you was not a residential property, it was a commercial property.
Any other questions? Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to Mr. Skillbred. Is there a fiscal note on this? Is there any cost to this?
Mr. Skillbred.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, no, there is not.
Mr. Chairman, I like that answer. Good answer.
I think we all do, Representative Davids.
Good answer.
Members, any other questions? Anybody in the audience that wants to testify for or against this bill, come on down. Please identify yourself for the record and start whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Tess Rice. I'm general counsel for the Minnesota Bankers Association. We support this change. We think that the rule as it is discourages banks from investing in permanent improvements to other real estate, and this change will encourage them to get property up to a good condition to sell at foreclosure, which or after foreclosure, which will hopefully improve property values overall.
Sounds good. Any questions, members? Thank you, Ms. Rice. Anybody else in the audience that wants to testify for or against? Not seeing anyone coming forward. Representative Sanders, if you'd like to have a final word and renew your motion, we'll go ahead and vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just jump.
My apologies. You can have your final word, but we're not going to vote. We are. You said this earlier, and I forgot. We're going to lay this over.
Correct. And I'll just renew the motion now that House File 823 be laid over for possible inclusion in the market assurance bill.
Thank you, Representative Sanders.
Thank you much.
Representative Lemaire, you ready? Thank you for your patience with us, with letting us go a little bit out of order. We had Representative Sanders had somewhere else to be. I will go ahead and move your bill, and I will move House File 529 to pass and move on to the General Register. Representative Lemaire, if you could identify yourself for the record and start whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike Lemaire, State Representative for Morrison and Crowing County. I also have an author's amendment, Mr. Chair. I could move that.
I will move the amendment as well, the A1 amendment.
Do we need a vote on that to get it in its proper
form? Do you want to say anything about the amendment before we...
My intent when I first had this legislation drawn up was to include all pole barns, and when I got the legislative brief on it, it only included pole barns that were on agricultural property, and I wanted it to include all pole barns.
Okay.
You know, so that's what this amendment does. It includes all pole barns. It doesn't single out one certain group.
Members, it is an author's amendment, but does anybody have any questions about the amendment? Seeing none, those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A1 amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 521 has amended. The history behind it is we had an individual in my community, 47 years old. He was a husband, a brother, a father, of seven children, and he fell through the skylight and died. And after this happened, I've had three other individuals say, you know, that happened to me too. I stepped through my skylight. Didn't fall through, but stepped through it. And through research going on the internet, there's 50 to 60 people that fall through these skylights every year, and what this legislation does is it states that new construction and remodeling, alterations, and repair of buildings, that if you have these corrugated skylights, that they have to be protected.
Corrugated skylights.
And in your packet, I put some information on the types of protections that are available for these skylights. There's passive protection screens that they can go right over the top of them. It'll bear the weight of an individual and prevent them from falling through. And there's also new polycarbonate corrugated panels that you can use that will also be weight-bearing. And that's pretty much what this legislation does, and I'm open to any questions. The Department of Labor and Industry is here to hopefully show support of this legislation.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Lemire. And just for comfort for myself, I got to ask the question. It says pole barns, but this doesn't include residential structures or anything. It's just corrugated roofs.
Representative Lemire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Representative. It only pertains to those the type of skylight that lays right on the corrugated roof. Most times on homes, they got a curb, where on pole barns they lay right on the tin, and over the years they can mask themselves right into the tin. As a plumber, I've been on roofs, and I mean sometimes you turn around, there they are. Where on a curb, you at least have a chance of not falling in them.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess just follow up. I guess the way I read this, and I'm a carpenter by trade, so I understand what these are, but it's just a matter of to get it on the record here. When it says repairs, so if I'm doing any other repairs on the building, and I've run into this in other jobs, that they can come out, I'm putting in a light or fixing, you know, whatever, other repairs on this building, would I then be required to have to go and fix these at the same time, or is it only if I'm doing repairs to the roof that this would come into play?
Representative Lemire.
My assumption is if you were doing repairs to the roof, whether or not, I don't know if you could. Would you like Mr. Rakowski?
Mr. Rakowski, do you can you shed a little light on this for us?
Mr. Chairman, John Rakowski with the Department of Labor, and some of you know full well, and if I ever put a hammer in my hand, I'm just going to hurt myself. I'll get back to you on it. I would think it would just be for repair only. We just saw the amendment today.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all.
Thank you. Members, other questions? Is there anyone in the audience that wants to testify for or against the bill? Mr. Raines. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed when you're ready.
Hi, I'm Philip Raines with Associated Builders and Contractors. And Representative Lemire brought this to us about a month ago. Checked out with contractors that do this for a living, put up these pole barns. What they tell me is they generally advise people to do this anyway. Within two, three freeze-thaw cycles, they're going to leak anyway. If you don't put curbing around them or make them much more substantive than some people tend to put them in at right now, and we'd be in full support of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Raines. And members, any questions? Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on the bill, either for or against? Seeing none, I will renew my motion. Representative Lemire, do you want a final word before we vote?
Just thank you, committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I will renew my motion that House File 529 pass as amended and be sent to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Lemire.
Thank you.
Your re-election bill.
Representative Anderson, would you move the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move minutes of the date that's on the minutes.
Representative Anderson moves the minutes from March 9th. Any discussion?
Would you like a roll call on those, Mr. Chair? I'll withdraw the request.
Thank you. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the minutes as moved on from March 9th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am here with Mr. Ager from the Realtors. We're talking about House File 323, which we would like to have passed and sent on to the General Register. And we have a number of different things that we're going to do to and with this bill today. I think on a bipartisan, peace in the valley kind of basis. And with that, I will let, maybe the easiest way to do this is let Mr. Ager explain the bill briefly, and then Representative Atkins has what I would consider to be a friendly amendment that we're going to offer after we do a little bit of explanation towards the bill.
Would you state your name for the record?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Paul Egger, Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Minnesota Association of Realtors. And I believe Mr. Pender has a delete everything amendment as well for the bill. And Mr. Chairman, I'm going to speak to the bill as the DE amendment, as if the DE amendment was adopted. So I don't know if you want to adopt that amendment or do that at a later time.
Mr. Chair, we could do the DE amendment as an author's amendment, and that is an amendment that was reflects changes that were made between the appraisers and the realtors, and then Representative Atkins will have the A1 amendment after that that reflects further changes made between the appraisers and the realtors. So maybe the best way to do it is move the DE1 amendment to get it in the shape that we want it, and we can explain that amendment and then talk about the next one.
Can we get copies of the DE amendment?
No, we don't have the, Mr. Chair, we don't have it in our packet. So
is this a ticket bill or the coal bill or what are we on?
It's one of those. It's starting to feel like it.
Why don't we go ahead and have Mr. Egger talk about the bill, and we'll get copies of the amendment for the members. Mr. Egger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to thank Representative Hoppe for bringing this bill forward. It is a bill that is supported by our members and, again, the Minnesota Association of Realtors. We represent over 18,000 realtors throughout Minnesota. This bill deals with two separate issues. The first issue that this bill addresses is the issue of broker price opinions. And a broker price opinion, members, is an estimate of price made by a real estate salesperson or broker on the probable selling price of a piece of property. And it's based on a variety of factors, primarily looking at comparable properties and determining what the estimated sale price would be. And anybody who's worked with a realtor, either to sell their house or to buy a home, has gone through this exercise, and it's generally a tabletop exercise where you'll sit down with your realtor and they'll show you comparable properties in your neighborhood and help you figure out what you'd like to sell your house, the price you'd like to sell your house. And so with this legislation, members, we're trying to clarify a vague statute, and just want to be clear that a broker price opinion is not an appraisal. It is just what it describes. It's an opinion of price, not of value, and it's not meant to replace appraisals, and these price opinions cannot be used for mortgage origination. So I just want to be clear at the outset that a price opinion is distinct from an appraisal, and the legislation reflects that distinction. A second point is that realtors, real estate licensees, can currently do price opinions. And back to the example I gave a second ago, if you've ever sold your house, you've worked with a realtor and they've helped you develop a selling price, and that is a price opinion. That's a price opinion. What has changed in the marketplace and why this bill is coming forward is the language and statute is very general about the ability for real estate licensees to do broker price opinions. And with the foreclosure situation and the number of properties in foreclosure, a number of lenders in recent years have requested price opinions. So the relationship between just a buyer and a seller has also led to lenders having an interest in determining the price of homes on their balance sheets. And that often has resulted in lenders requesting broker price opinions, maybe several on a single piece of property. So we brought this legislation forward at the request of our members to clarify in the statute that broker price opinions are appropriate and that our members can continue to do broker price opinions, and for the parties that a price opinion can be produced for, such as buyers, sellers, and third parties like lenders.
And I will add to that, Mr. Chair and members. The realtors brought forward this bill, and there were initially no concerns, and then we heard from some appraisers that had, and Mr. Enger, stop me if I'm saying anything that's incorrect here, but there were The changes that are reflected in the DE1 amendment are changes that are a result of negotiations between the appraisers and the realtors that I think everybody could live with. And as it was explained to me by Senator Vandeveer, who was the only senator to vote no against this and who is an appraiser, and one of the appraisers that visited, is they don't like it. They don't think the bill's necessary, but these were changes that they could live with, understanding that it was going to pass. It did pass in the Senate Commerce Committee and moved to, I think it's in Judiciary. I'm not sure which committee in the Senate. But if we have somebody here from the appraisers that wants to come up and speak about that part of it, we want to make sure everybody's heard and we all understand what's going on with the amendment.
I believe Representative Mulry has a question. Representative Mulry.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I know it was a shock to you this year. I was trying to protect small realtors against the big conglomerate you represent. And now I'm even more worried about what you're trying to do. I'm always a little suspect of the big conglomerate realtors, and now it says you're going to charge and collect fee for doing this. How do you collect fee? Are you cutting off their legs and taking their feet off? Is that what it says here?
Mr. Chairman, I've never been asked a question like that, but I'll take a shot.
Well, I'm just reading your handouts. And
Mr. Chairman and Representative Mulry, the language pertaining to fees, let me just use an example. In the case of a realtor working with...
Mr. Chair, he's answering some other question. I'm not worried about the fees. I'm worried about the fee that he's collecting.
Mr. Eggert.
Mr. Chairman.
And knowing the way realtors are.
Sorry for the typo.
Representative Mulry.
Well, I never know with what he's up to. So,
Mr. Chairman, we were thinking about giving Representative Mulry our Legislator of the Year award, but I don't know. After the feed question, we may have to think about it a little while longer.
Mr. Chair, how does the department feel on this?
Mr. Reich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, my name is John Reich, Director of Government Affairs for the Department of Commerce. We have been working with the realtors and the appraisers throughout the entire process to come up with something that works. As Mr. Egger stated, the statute is vague with respect to BPOs. These are happening right now, and it's not clear under current statute as to whether or not, at least realtors are concerned that under current statute they may be running afoul of the current market analysis that's given to them in their statute. So this actually clears it up, gives us some clarity as regulators with respect to BPOs, and I think would only help with the regulation of BPOs.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Reich. Good job. Okay. Thank you.
Representative Crawford, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Eggert, I'm a real estate appraiser, have been for 25 years, also a member of the organization. I don't have any problem with the bill, but the example you gave when you're sitting around the table trying to figure out a price to put on a house, is that usually something that people charge for?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, no, it is not. And the language, and I thought Representative Mulry was getting at the fee language, not the feet language in the bill, but the fee language in the bill actually clarifies that in those situations when a BPO is requested by a third party, such as a lender, that fees are currently being assessed for those now. If you're a lender and you ask a realtor to provide a broker price opinion, realtors can charge for that. The way it's dealt with when you're sitting with a seller is it's part of your commission services that you offer as a realtor.
Representative Crawford?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Eggert, then what you're saying is if the bank has some foreclosed property and they're wondering what type of price to put on it, this might be an occasion where they don't need a full appraisal, they just need to know what's a good price.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Eggert.
Yes.
Thank you. Representative Crawford.
Yeah.
Representative Hoppe, it appears that the members now have a copy of the DE amendment. Would you like to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I will move the DE1 amendment. And I apologize to members. I thought we all had this already. I didn't have it either, but I thought we had. And we have, I think, had a lot of explanation of what the DE amendment is. And I don't know if anybody has any further questions about it. But
Representative Hoppe moves the DE amendment. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Representative Mullery.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, isn't this what they've always done? I mean, isn't this been common for decades to do that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mullery, by doing, you mean broker price opinions?
Right.
Yes, under current statute.
I heard
statute,
them under a different name.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mullery, yes, as Mr. Reich also testified from the department, realtors can currently perform broker price opinions. The problem has been that we're trying to address here is clarifying in statute. Right now, the language pertaining to this authority is very brief, a couple of sentences in statute, and it from our perspective and working with the department, we felt that with the marketplace in the condition that it's in and more lenders actually requesting price opinions on properties, not just buyers or sellers, that it was appropriate to come forward and try to add some more clarity to the statute so there's a common understanding.
Okay. Representative Mullery? Any further questions about the amendment? Representative Davids?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to Mr. Eggert. Are there any continued requirements in this bill?
Mr. Eggert?
Mr. Chairman, no. Representative Davids, you'll be happy to hear that no, there are not.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any further comments or questions on the amendment? Representative Loon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess I'm just trying to ascertain where the drive is coming from this, and I know that you all in the letter said you consulted stakeholders, but I mean, what would be the ultimate consumer impact of this? I mean, as I understand it, usually when you secure the services of a realtor, it's a, you know, they're paid as a percentage basis of whatever the selling price is of the property, and my assumption was that these services were generally covered under that. So how would this be broken out to the consumer when a contract is made with a broker or an agent?
Mr. Eggert?
Mr. Chair, Representative Loon, I would say the language that you have in front of you will not impact your average consumer very directly, because that's clearly, even under the vague statute, it's pretty clear that that's an ordinary course of a realtor's business, is to help an individual buyer, an individual seller, the consumer, with a price opinion, with helping them figure out either the appropriate price to market their house or to make an offer. So I think the direct answer to your question, if I'm understanding it correctly, is the average consumer should not be impacted by this, because we're trying to codify current practice. But back to the point I was trying to make earlier about the fact that we have many more foreclosures today than we had even 7-8 years ago, has resulted in more third parties like lenders that have significant number of properties, foreclosed properties, which are assets to them, on their balance sheet. And so they have an interest as well in understanding what a potential selling price could be. So the relationship between the realtor and the buyer, the seller, the consumer shouldn't be impacted by this, but we wanted to make sure that we were clarifying that in those situations where it's not just an individual buyer or seller, that it's perhaps a third party, perhaps it's somebody with power of attorney, or it's an estate, and they have an interest in determining, you know, if I put this property up for sale, what's a likely selling price, that we needed to make that clear in the statute as well.
Any further discussion? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess Representative Loon's question, me reading the amendment here, raises the same question in my mind. What's to stop real estate agents, and you're saying that this is normally part of, if I'm going to sell my house or my property, that this is part of the fee that it's included in the fee that's normally charged, the percentage of the house sale. But what's to prevent them from saying, well, now we have authorization in law to charge you this fee on top of that selling fee? What's to prevent that from happening with this language? And I don't know if there's any way we could put language in to stop that, but I mean, what's to prevent that from happening, from this being added on top?
Mr. Mager?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, it's certainly not the intent that this would result in an increase on the fees paid by individual buyers or sellers as part of the commission. The intent was to make sure that we cover those situations clearly in the statute, as I stated earlier, where it's a third party. In terms of language, we didn't believe language was necessary. We're certainly willing to take another look at that as the bill moves forward and figure out if it is necessary. But it's not the intent. This would be an additional fee on clients of realtors.
Representative Nelson?
That's what I wanted to hear.
Representative Mullery?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Chair Davids, maybe this you should be awake for. I would question whether this wouldn't also include even a appraisal for tax purposes. Are we then allowing this BPO to be used by a person that would be binding on the tax department? And that's why I'm saying Representative Davids might want to think about this. But I think if we're not, which I hope we're not, we maybe should limit it to some extent.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hoppe.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mullery and members, this in any case where somebody currently needs an appraisal for tax purposes or anything else, they still need an appraisal. This doesn't change that. It just clarifies statute a little bit about where a broker price opinion is okay.
Representative Mullery?
Well, I think the chair of tax might
Representative Davids.
Some protective
Well,
language.
Mr. Chairman, I'm only concerned about the continuing ed. on this. And I would say that I read through there and I don't see where it changes any tax policy as far as how that would change. I would stay the same the way it looks to me, so I think we're good.
Okay. Representative Ansels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Seems to me that clarity is always a good objective here, but in our move to get better clarity, we open up the very real possibility that the consumer gets to pay twice. Consumer gets to pay within the usual framework as it exists now, and because of this legislation, it may be possible that the consumer gets to pay again a separate and distinct fee called a broker price opinion. Please tell me that I'm wrong.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Ansel. Far be it from me to ever tell you you were wrong, and I certainly am sure Mr. Egger wouldn't do that, but I don't think you're 100% correct.
Okay.
It won't change anything. Realtors can already do this, and there's no economic incentive for them to charge for this. What they're doing is they're giving somebody an opinion as to what they think the house will sell for rather than a full-out appraisal. So it's not a line item. It's not something people are going to be charged for. It's just kind of what they're already doing.
Representative Tilbury.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hoppe, what percentage was it that he wasn't correct?
Representative Hoppe.
I was told there would be no math. I would say he was about 99% correct. He was just edging on. It's not that he was wrong. It's just
iron range math.
Yeah. Well, this bill is all about clarification, and that's all we were doing here.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the DE amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And now I'd like to move the, or actually, I think Representative Atkins wants to move the A1 amendment, and then we're going to make oral changes to the A1 amendment.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Chair Hoppe's correct. I hope to bring additional clarity to the amendment. The A1 amendment was born out of the fact that the appraisers and realtors have continued to visit a little bit more, and we think that we have now struck the common ground and the peace in the valley that Representative David so often looks for. There was some concern about in the amendment itself, and that's why I intend to make a couple of changes to the amendment, but it's to accommodate some of the concerns that were forwarded by the appraisers who've been involved in the bill, and the realtors are good with it. But in order to proceed with the amendment in the fashion that the appraisers and the realtors have come to an agreement on, we need to take out some portions of the amendment. So if you're looking at the A1, you can remove lines 1.3 through lines 1.17. And then in lines 1.18 through 1.22, you'll see three references to the words or comparative market analysis, and just strike those four words in the three places where it's mentioned. Again, in lines 1.18 through 1.22, you'll see or comparative market analysis. That is a term of art, as you might imagine, and that would have led us down a different path that we didn't want to go down. So we're removing those four words on three occasions. With that is my understanding that the appraisers and the realtors love the amendment to death, and we'd appreciate your support.
Representative Atkins, it's your intent to incorporate those changes into the amendment?
I am incorporating those changes, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Representative Atkins moves the A1 amendment with those changes. Any discussion to the amendment?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Representative Mr. Chair, members, I do think that that's a friendly amendment. This represents a lot of work that, as Representative Atkins said, between the appraisers and the realtors and the department, and I appreciate him offering the amendment. And I think we have that noise you hear in the background, I believe, is peace in the valley.
Yeah. Okay. Any further discussion on the amendment? Anyone from the public care to? Did you have a question, Representative Murphy?
Mr. Chair, just to protect us, Section 4 of the bill was my initial concern because this, I believe, allows a realtor, let's say it's usually a large realtor that has a leasing service, to step in when a small realtor has a listing for the sale. And I was concerned about protecting the small realtors on this, but they have assured me that this is the position of the Realtors Association, so I'd just like to make sure that that's, would you state that on the record so that when we get calls from our little three-person realtor and saying, why did that happen, I can say the head of the association said on the record that that's what they want?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Representative Mullery, I'd be happy to address that now. I was the amendment pertained to BPOs, and then I was going to cover this separately, but I'd be happy to do that right now as well. The language that Representative Mullery is referencing is on page 3, that's section 4 of the DE1 amendment. And this language is it's a separate issue from the broker price opinion language. What this language accomplishes is that it allows currently, if you have an agreement with a realtor, you have an exclusive agreement, and that means that you're essentially under contract to work with that realtor for the sale of your house. Let's say you're selling your home. what has happened, and again, related to the BPO issue, changes in the marketplace. We've seen the length of time, the number of days that a home is on the market before sale increase, and it's not unusual to have a house on the market for several months, if not longer than that. The current language and statute only allows for one exclusive agreement between one realtor and their buyer or seller. What this language would do, it would allow multiple exclusive agreements for different services. And so the example would be if Chair Hoppy he was working with a realtor and had his house for sale, but after 8 months, he still hadn't had an offer, and for whatever reason, he really needed to start either obviously he wanted to sell the home, but he wasn't able to sell it, but he needs to derive some income from having that house occupied. If I'm his realtor and he approaches me and says, "Hey, we're not selling the home, but would you be willing to market it as a rental?" And if I don't provide that service, Chair Hoppy's out of luck. He has a house that isn't selling. He has a realtor who isn't able to offer him a different service, for example, renting out his home. But this language would allow it would say that we would have an exclusive agreement for me to sell his home, but he would also, as the consumer, have an option of working with a different realtor who has an interest in or expertise in the renting of properties to market that property as a rental. And so you couldn't have multiple exclusive agreements for the same service. If he's working with me as his realtor to sell his home, then he cannot work with anyone else. But for different services, this would allow that practice to take place. It's our understanding, or it's my understanding, this is a relatively new issue to me, new to the realtors, that the Commerce Department's interpretation of the language in the current statute reflects that practice, but a clear reading, and Representative Mulery being a lawyer, you know that clear reading is important, even if interpretation is different than the clear reading, so that we believe it's important, as long as we're here with the BPO legislation, our members asked us to clarify this language on exclusive agreements to allow for that. And Mr. Chair, Representative Mulery, the comfort, yes, our members have asked for it. And we have about an 80-person government affairs committee that represents not just the big brokerages, but the small brokerages as well. And this is a position that the members have taken.
Very good. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak to the A1 amendment with incorporated changes? All right. With that, we'll vote on the A1 amendment. All those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any further discussion on the bill as amended? Anyone from the audience care to testify on the bill? With that, all those in favor of we'll move to a vote on House File 323 as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, and Mr. Chairman, members, thanks for your patience. We were most of the day negotiations were going on up until about 2:40 or so. So, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, members. We're adjourned.